This morning we want to talk about the Father's heart for the world and wish our Father God a happy Father's Day, because His heart is for all of us around the world, and to see more and more come to know Him in a powerful and wonderful way and are taken care of in a great way by the Father. So we want to start with a greeting from Pastor DeLeo in Uganda.
Hey everybody, I'm here with Pastor DeLeo, the new pastor of the church there. Yes, we had a great time ordaining him into the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. A great man of God, and what a great pleasure to be there at his church to preach on Sunday and to have the ordination service as well. We also did this. We gave them 10 filters so that they can use to filter out all of the bugs and junk for all the people that have to walk a long distance to get water. They can get a lot closer and get it safely and cleanly. But anyway, we love this man, we love his ministry, and he just wanted to say hi to all the rest of you.
Oh, Living Faith Fellowship, my name is Etienne Moses DeLeo. 16 years ago, I was there, I was sitting, I think, the second or the third pew with the Trolls family, and I remember clearly how it was a great fellowship. And I know I missed all of you at my ordination, but for surely I want to thank all of you for your contribution and for releasing your family members and ministers to come to be part of what we are doing. And from now on, I see that connection again. This is a lovely pastor. It has been wonderful having him share twice. And so I'm back to be part of that wonderful ministry again. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Amen.
Amen. Pastor DeLeo was here 16 years ago. CJ's going to talk about a little bit on an international ministry training program. We brought him here for a year, trained him up, and then we sent him back. And we had the privilege of ordaining him. We'll talk about it in a moment. I just want to thank all of you for sending us to Africa. We had a great meeting here on Wednesday. Prophetic words were out. We read those words as we were flying out of here. And we really appreciate all the prophetic, and you sending us, and I know CJ was kind of giving some information back to everybody as how the trip was going, but it was an incredible trip as we went to Africa. I've never been to Africa before, but it was amazing. God's heart is for missions, I believe, around the world, and we're involved in missions from a number of different aspects. We have Operation Christmas Child, where we support works in Haiti with Praying Pelican. We partner with them and Pastor Luckner, an orphanage that's there. In Ecuador with Nancy Gregory, who's done many medical missions teams that she's led there. We also partner with Cadi, One Heart Global Ministries. Amy Carlson is also over there. In Kosovo, Nathan and Miranda Troll are there, and we're supporting them. In Italy, Paolo and Kathy Catalini and a church there, we're supporting them. In Myanmar, Burma, we're sponsoring the Bible translation and the Lenung language for the Nagas people group. It's a people group who does not have the scriptures. We've been doing it for the last 10 years. We put $60,000 into trying to get a Bible into these people's hands because they can't read the Word of God. But we felt it was important for us to pick somebody somewhere. If every church did that, everywhere in the world would have the Bible. We found one, and we're investing in it and to making sure that they get the Word of God. We also, in Africa and Uganda, we sponsor a child there as well. David, since he was 2 years old, I think he's 9 now. Pastor DeLeo is there at the Divine Waters Ministry, drilling wells in that and pastoring a church there and a school as well. In Malawi, we support Pastor Isaiah Chepeta in his church and also Bishop Elton Mahungo, who's one of the 5 bishops in the whole of Malawi for the Holy Cross Pentecostal Church, and really appreciates all the work we've done there. And we put in a number of wells there we'll talk about in just a moment. But CJ is going to give us a little bit of the history of our connection with Africa.
All right. So here's a picture of the team real quick. This is our team that went. This is a picture of us in Malawi. But Nick Whitaker, who's not with us today, he's next to Pastor Phil in those glasses looking all, you know, Nick way. That's Nick's way. So... But I'm going to give you a quick, just a connection to our time in Africa as far as with this particular trip. We have other connections in Africa as well, but just to this one. In 2001, we brought Ochen DeLeo Moses. He came here for an IMT program. He was here for almost a year. He obtained training, and then he went back to his country in Uganda. In 2005, Cheryl Pardoon went to Malawi, and she just went up north, felt the call of God to go into regions where no one goes, because that's just the way Cheryl operates. And so we're all of our connections in Malawi is because this lady just listened to the Lord. And so she's amazing. Then she went back in 2005, and she obtained some really neat connections there. And so she introduced us to Pastor Isaiah Chipeta, not personally, but just in her report back. Then in 2010, we brought Pastor Isaiah Chipeta, yep, here for IMT program, International Ministry Training, and we trained him, sent him back to Malawi. Then in 2012, LFF sent a team to go to both Uganda and Malawi. We reconnected with DeLeo, and then we also reconnected with Isaiah. But while we were there, we also connected with a gentleman named Bishop Elton Mahungo, and truly amazing man. So we went, then we brought him in 2013. We brought him here, trained him up, sent him back to Malawi. And then over the last 5 years, really, we've been working on partnership, a partnership of relationship. You know, we can do a lot. Anybody can do humanitarian aid. That just means doing good for somebody. But we as a church, we don't want to just do good for somebody. We don't want to just provide a well or just provide food. We want to be a part of something called community transformation. And that is where God touches the entire community of a place. And so we're partnering with that. We're partnering with these gentlemen in these countries to see community transformation. Wells are a part of that. Food is a part of that. You know, crops, all of that. All that is a part of that, spiritual. But it's the entire community benefits, both saved and unsaved, when God touches a community. It's messy work. It is very messy. Community transformation takes time to build a solid foundation such that God is glorified. Amen. Cool. So we're a part of that church, and it's a privilege to be able to share this story today. So we started in Uganda. We flew into Uganda, and we were tired. And so what happened is that DeLeo, because we trained him, we trained him things like, hey, maximize your full potential. So as soon as we arrived, he goes, I'm going to maximize my full potential. You guys are going to do a leadership seminar. Oh, Jesus. All right, so we did. So the next day, what time is it for us? It's about 11 a.m. Uganda time. We're still at 1 a.m. U.S. time, and Pastor Phil's doing a four-hour leadership training for leaders. There's about 70 leaders. They're so hungry. They're soaked up the Word of God. They're just on the edge of their seat, listening and attentive and very excited about leadership training. So Pastor Phil did a phenomenal job connecting with the people. The team did a great job connecting with the people. And really that is a testimony of the prayers of this place that sent us into great ministry. So Curtis is going to be chatting about Legacy Partnership School.
When we first went in 2012, we were introduced to Legacy School with DeLeo, and it was amazing what they were doing and what they were starting with. They start with nothing, and they make something out of it. And and one of the things that the schoolmaster said when we left was, he says, don't forget us. This is a picture of the school here. They're adding on a final store floor up on top, and that's where our leadership training was. Go ahead and run that video if you want to.
Right here, Curtis.
Oh, back here, there's nothing. It's a shot. Here's the surrounding area. They put it in the country, so they serve both the people in villages, but also there's some prominent people that come. About 250 students go there. 150 of them are boarded there. They live there year-round, and they were on break at this time, so the students that were there were the ones, either the ones that were boarded there and they live there, or the ones that were studying for the national exams. The school does very well in national exams, which determines where you're going to go in secondary school. So, part of the day also, here is Pastor Margaret Ochen, DeLeo's wife. She's the head teacher. And then the next slide is Pastor Sam Ayuta. He's chairman of the board. What we did there also is PCS reached out to Legacy School to establish a sister school relationship. So while we were there, we presented them with a nice world map from PCS, and then also a plaque that said this. the plaque says, in mutual recognition of the benefit of cross-cultural awareness, the value of unity among the body of Christ, and the need for strengthening language skills, we join together with Legacy Primary School for the establishment of a relationship as sister schools. We pray that our connection and communication will assist both schools in the raising up of strong Christian leaders in the generations to come. Isn't that great? So they are very excited about the potential, and we're also excited about the potential, what we can do there. It costs about $118 for a year of tuition at the school. If you want to board and you want to pay for the school training room and board for a student, it's around less than $400. So what we can do over in that country is amazing, what we can do through educating the youth. So that was us at that spot. Are we going to do...
Right after this, the next day, I believe was Sunday, we did an ordination service with, we ordained seven pastors. We pastor DeLeo and his wife, Margaret Ochen. We ordained them. We also ordained next, pastors Francis and Jane Odang. She's an evangelist, and they're awesome folks. We ordained Pastor Robert Kennedy. We ordained Pastor Nicholas Arup. This guy plays on this, what's that called? An accordion. Oh my gosh. You should see him go, man. I tell you, he is fun on that thing. And also Pastor Okelo and Agnes McCobb. So it was an absolute privilege to ordain these men and women, seven of them, in their ministry. And they are absolutely amazing people. They love to worship as well. They are a worshiping people. The celebration there at the ordination was really ornate. They were dressed to kill. A lot of the ladies wear very colorful dresses in that. And it was a neat time. We did prophetic words over them. And they were really touched and really were thankful for us coming. And this is what Pastor DeLeo got from his family. They got him a cow. That's what you get over there. They give you something that's useful, like a cow to eat. So can you imagine for your ordination, we were going to get that for Pastor Dan when he was ordained, but they were all out of cows. We couldn't get him any cows. So we got him a pair of shoes made out of cows. So that's all we could do. But their influence is way wide. Their influence is huge there. And I think Pastor CJ will talk more about that. There, we also gave them out candy because kids love candy. I want to show this one video on worship and talk to you. They go 2 hours worship before anything happens here. And here they are. Can you turn up the volume? Here they all worshiping. And they... I mean, they're yelling and screaming. Look at this guy right here. He's completely drenched. He is completely drenched. He's drenched. He's drenched. He's drenched. They are all drenched. I'll tell you what, they move like that for 2 hours. It was all over the place. I mean, we were learning new dance moves, and we were out there. We were going at it. You should have seen Colt. He was just laying some... He was laying down some moves, and I just learned a new side of Colt while we were there. He's a mover and a shaker. Also, we also passed out candy. It's just something we love to do. Got the video of that? Just
of course, there's an anointing that transfers into every culture. Just want you guys to know this. Pastor Phil is the same person in any country. This is just who he is. So it's nice to know.
At that ordination service, we had food and stuff, and you just eat with your hands. You wash your hands, and then you eat everything with your hands. And so it was interesting. We ate a lot of food just with our hands, a little different than what we do here in America, for sure. After this, after we did the ordination service, then on Sunday, we split up into three different directions, and Cheryl's going to talk to us about the three different directions that we went in.
Just to let you know, Pastor Phil was absolutely phenomenal over there. For his first time in Africa, he was amazing. For the ordination service, he spoke with authority. There were like maybe 800 people in the place, riveted with attention to what he was saying and how he was conducting the whole service. So you can really, I've seen him in so many different scenarios in Africa now. And I will say that in each church service, he highlighted the pastor of the church to the congregation, really lifted up pastors. And as he did that, he made himself even stronger without even trying to do that. Amen. So you can be very proud of him. I am very proud of him myself. Amazing, amazing job. You'll just have to go to Africa to see him in action, I guess, in a different way. What I'm talking about is the Sunday service in Uganda. We split up into three places, Colt and Ellis and CJ and Pastor Phil, and Curtis and I went to different parts of the region in Uganda, and we gave it away. We really gave it away. We had a really strong team. There was no stumbling or anything like that. We were together. There was unity. There was strength. And there was a lot of ministry that went on, that took place. And so we were privileged to go, but you can be assured that this was a great team with a great impact that will last probably forever. My job in Hadar with Curtis was to share the message, "The Lord is my shepherd." That's the topic that I took, because here we're bringing our shepherd from America, and we're addressing so many different shepherds over there. We want to strengthen them. We want to strengthen their churches. So the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art my strength. Thou art my rod and my staff. And so shepherds lead the sheep up the mountainside, even though sometimes going through the ravine and up the gullies is kind of rough. And so I explained to the people, you are the sheep. This is lamb chops, but this is you, you know. And so I walked around and I held lamb chops, and we threw kisses and we shook hands and we did all that, because visual aids really help the people to understand, yes, you are a sheep and you are needy. You need a shepherd. You need someone to lead you. And so the people responded, and then after the service in Hadar, after I got speaking, then I asked them if anybody needed to be saved. Nobody did. And then I said, well, to get through the difficulties of life, would you like to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? And trust me, Africans are very spiritual, and they want something like that. So basically, everybody came forward, and then the pastors laid hands on all the people in the congregation that came forward, and they received the Holy Spirit. And I just love to see that happen, because Africans are so responsive to the power of God. And at the same time, there was some deliverance needed too. And Pastor David, who was Pastor DeLeo's oversight, who was with us, helped with the deliverance part and laying on of hands. So it was an awesome experience for me to be able to share that. What else could I say now? We have a video showing worship in Uganda that is typical of worship in other places. And following that, Ellis will be speaking on Divine Waters Ministry.
They definitely move. They all, you don't ever stop moving. Didn't stop moving either.
CJ
just kept moving.
Oh yeah. Well, it was really great that they did worship for so long, because it took about 5 minutes of each song to kind of figure out what we're supposed to do. That's the dance. All right, okay, and then we clap, and then all right. So anyway, and then we get to, you know, worship for a little bit, and then they change songs, and then and we move on. So the next day we went and we got to meet with some of the pastors, kind of another sit down with some of these guys. We were going to tour the Divine Waters Ministries. They say Divine Waters because they do water that's in the natural and in the spiritual. They give people natural water and spiritual water. So Divine Water. So we were able to kind of check out their headquarters in a physical sense, where they kind of house some of their equipment for all their well drilling operations, and it was great to tour that. They're a very well organized. They're a great group. We have a great time being able to partner with them. And as we're kind of touring around, we're just like, all right, great. And some of these pastors are here, and they're taking off too. We're taking off. This is great. And so then we just kind of sit down for a nice little chat there at the end, and we're like, all right, this is great. This is nice. But then we just kind of start talking with them. CJ's asking questions, and the topic kind of comes up about what are you guys looking forward to? What do you see as the next major challenge for you as a ministry? And it, for me, one of my biggest takeaways from the trip was, even for an organization that's, they've got a lot of pastors, they've got a lot of churches, they just felt, as we came over there, we're like, you know, what do we have to offer you guys? But as just by us coming and being a part of that, they had such a boost and such a lift of momentum moving forward. Everybody talked to the pastors, talked to the people, talked to lay ministers, and they're all saying, this is a new day that's dawning for our church, for our organization. We are looking forward to what God has ahead for the future. And so as we ask these pastors, what are your struggles and challenges? They said the number one challenge and struggle that they have moving forward is they need systematic biblical teaching. And then we smile, because we know that we have systematic biblical teaching that we have been incredibly blessed with as we've developed that here at our church, and is a major strength of this house. And so then Pastor Phil begins to share about what we have, not at all saying that you need to take this or this is what we're gonna, you know, give to you, but we just start explaining what we have to offer, what we have to give. And they were so grateful for the opportunity that we would continue to partner with them and continue to give them exactly what they need. So moving on in the future, we are going to be sending them a lot of our materials, Carpenter Series, Bible Foundation stuff, to do our part to help them and be of service however we can, so that we can continue to see God's purposes accomplished in Uganda. Pastor Phil, tell Amen. Us about what we did next.
Amen. They're hungry and they want material. They want to grow. And as we were at that meeting and we were chatting, and I said, hey, I'm not going to put it on you, but we'll give it all to you for free. And they said, oh my gosh, this would be an answer to prayer. We have so many needs, and we could send this to all of our pastors, and this would be absolutely incredible. So I could see us maybe even sending some teachers over there and helping them on some of it. But it was really, really incredible. So Ellis is working on getting all of our Carpenter Series and getting our Bible Foundations material. We have a 6-year plan that we're going to try to help them each and every year continue to grow their congregation in knowledge and understanding of the Lord. Well, after that, we got to take a day off, and so we got to visit one of the game parks there and saw all the animals there. Show us the video there. These guys are making fun of me.
We've been in the game park today. It's been our day off, and we've seen tons and tons of animals. You can see they're all over the place. Zebra. No, we didn't see any zebra. We saw giraffes and warthogs and elephants. And panther.
Leopards.
They were just making fun of me is what they were doing. We saw zebras and pandas that weren't there, no. I kept calling the giraffes zebras for some reason. I don't know why I did that. I've done that a ton. And this is a giraffe, not a zebra. So they were making fun of me. But we definitely saw a whole bunch of animals. It was absolutely incredible. I felt like I was at Jurassic Park, because there was all these things you never see anywhere, and they're out in this huge, I don't know how many hundreds of miles, square miles of area. That's their national, what's that called? The cobra here. This is their national emblem, I think, for them as a nation.
That's a panda.
It's a panther. We saw panthers. We would drive along. We had a guide. It's dense forest everywhere, and then there's some open area, and we're driving along, and all of a sudden, the guy goes, stop, because he was in our car with us, back up. We back up, and he goes, over there. I mean, it would be like from here down to the corner, see the tree? There's a panther in there, and I'm going,
a leopard.
There were no panthers there either. There were leopards there. So we saw them as well. We saw warthogs. We saw, oh, this was pretty cool. I was praying. It was the end of the day. We saw lions, and they were like 5 miles away. You had binoculars, you could look at them. Well, we're driving. I'm going, Lord, just show us a lion that he's just made a fresh kill. And I apologize if that offends anybody. But from here to Cary, we're driving in the car, and all of a sudden, there is this lion, and he just killed one of those deer, and he was eating this deer, and he was kind of pulling it, carrying it around, and it was, I have the video, it's absolutely incredible. And then this lion, he started, and we're all there taking pictures, and we got it all videoed, and then he started walking toward us. Then we all, you see the windows roll up. Goes in front of us, right to there. And again, that's like where the piano's at. And he looks out there and he goes, roared twice. Oh my gosh, it was spectacular. It was absolutely incredible. I just thought, how cool. At the very end of the day, we got to see something that not very many people get to see on these trips at all. And it was absolutely spectacular. Then he just ran into the jungle. There's a bunch of giraffes in the background, and it was absolutely a mystical thing. Seeing God's creation, His animals, and seeing nature like that was really another highlight for me over there. I've never ever seen something like that. It was absolutely incredible. And now, Curtis is going to talk about Vicky and our IMT programs.
For those who don't know Vicki Owens, she was here with us at Living Faith Fellowship over 30 years ago, went to Uganda to start a Christian school much like the system we had at the time at Pullman Christian School. And so she ended up earning her PhD, though, eventually from WSU in psychology. And she had a full time over there in Uganda. She was pastoring a church. She ended up developing the Department of Psychology at Makerere University and trained up counselors for that country. And so she was kind of the counselors of counselors. Yeah. And she's many high-ranking people in the nation of Uganda were her former students. So she's really well-connected.
Uganda calls her the mother of counseling.
I mean, she's very well respected. For the last 10 years or so, she was hired by the United Nations to be a counselor in their World Food Program because she's over about 5 nations in Africa. When you're a counselor and you're a staff member in a refugee camp, then you're seeing horrible, atrocious things and people in very degrading situations. You need counseling. So Vicky was the one United Nations would send in to counsel the counselors. So she's an amazing woman. She is a former Woman of the Year at WSU. So we stayed with her, and we had a great time. She opened up her home for some people to come over. Namita Crow, was in Uganda. She came and visited us. Sam Namatiti came and visited us. Joe Lee, remember her when she came as an IMT student?
A lot of these folks we had come as IMT students here, and so they came and visited us while we were there.
Yeah. So other people in Uganda that we weren't able to connect with is Timothy Kibirije. Remember him? He's an IMT student. Fred and Sabrina Wantate, they've been here in the past too. So we've had a number of them and IMT students from Uganda. We've also had students from the Netherlands, Fiji, Czech Republic, India. We've had numerous students from around the world that have come and to get founded in the Word of God, and it's been our pleasure. So anyway, so visiting with Vicky was an absolute. That's Joe Lee and her husband Patrick. It was an absolute delight, and she is really connected and had a great time with us too.
So this concluded our time in Uganda, and then the team we flew to Malawi. And we drop into Malawi, and then we head north quite a few hours into the northern part. And here's where we started things off with a Sunday service. Pastor Phil, he did a great job. He preached a Sunday service, and you guys really would have been proud of him. He connected just like he would here, but he connected very well with the people. Here's a quick video clip of that.
And then when he sends you, boom!
Love that. Yeah. They all did that. They love Pastor Phil. And you know what's really cool is I'm on the phone with both Uganda and Malawi on a normal basis, and that's part of what I do here at Living Faith Fellowship is oversee the missions. But they said that the messages that he spoke, the people are still talking about them. They really have transformed their lives. Pastor Phil's very visual, and so when he's sharing, the people connect with those visuals, and it's very transformational in that culture. And ours too. Hallelujah. And so anyways. So another thing is the kids. You'll always see kids in these services. So the women sit on one side, the men sit on the other, and the kids are another spot. And man, there are just a ton of kids. The kids during Pastor Phil's messages, man, they're right there just watching him, glued to him, and enjoying him as well. They gave us a plaque, Living Faith Fellowship. They've given us a plaque to say thank you for saving their lives. So it's right here. In 2014, there was a famine in Malawi. It was very severe. And Elton told us, he said, people would have died if it wasn't for this church supporting them with just the basics of food. And this is what we give. We give them money for corn. And their corn is in 5-gallon buckets or 20-liter buckets. And they get those, and that is sustaining for them. Corn, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Not really, I don't think they eat all three times in a day, maybe twice or once. So this church saved their lives, and they wanted to say thank you. In 2017, that's this year, there was also another famine, so we've contributed over $20,000 as a church to help these people just with the basics of life when they're in a very tough situation. And then also in November, we worked with them, and we sponsored two wells, and Colt's going to talk about that a little bit more. So deep thanks from them to you, saying thank you for saving their lives. That's a big thanks.
Hello. After the Sunday service, we did a men's breakout group and a ladies' breakout group. Cheryl took the ladies, and we took the men. They just asked questions. It was just a Q&A, just asking questions. They asked questions about marriage. They asked questions about creation. They asked questions about alcohol. Alcohol is a huge problem there because they don't have much, and then they squandered away with stupidness with alcohol. And then we talked to them about all sorts of stuff, and we found out that they really have bad, wrong, or really poor translations of the Bible. They're trying to read it, and they can't understand it. It's not in their language, and some are by maybe Jehovah's Witness. They've gotten a hold of something like that. And I said, so do you guys need the Word of God? He goes, yeah, we don't have it. We love the Word of God. And I said, how many Bibles do you need? And they said, 300. And I said, all right, we're going to send you 300 Bibles. I promised them that we would send them 300 Bibles. We're in the process of doing that. They're not cheap because we have to get them in their language. And I think we're getting what the NIV translation, we're going to send to them. It's about $2,500 worth. But we as a church are going to do it. And, you know, we have 5 or 6 Bibles we're pulling off our shelf. They're over there just longing for the Word of God. And,
what's that? It's going to be in the Tabuka language. Sorry.
In the Tabuka language.
Tabuka. Yeah, their language.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Tabuka. And, so I promised them we're going to do that, and so as a church, that's what we're going to do. We're going to give them 300 Bibles and get them into the Word of God so that they can read it for themselves. Cheryl's going to talk about what she talked about with her women's group.
And we were all in the men's group, and Cheryl was busy like leading the women's group, so we don't have any pictures of her in the women's group, so enjoy pictures of Cheryl in Africa.
Yeah, I look pretty good up there, don't I? No. It was my desire, as Pastor Phil was speaking to the men's group, to be able to speak to the women's group. I've done this before in years past, and I know that women really don't have much opportunity to individually express themselves. It seems like it's more of a male-dominated culture. And so we gathered inside the church building. The men's group was meeting outside the church building, and I could see Pastor Phil talking. So it was kind of cool to be able to see him and still have the women inside the church building. And I asked the women to please move all the benches into a big circle. And it was quite a large room. And so they all moved the benches and all these women sat surrounding me. Along with Pastor Mahungo's wife, Lucy, who was my translator. She did a great job. And so I did the same thing as I did in Uganda. I talked about the Lord is my shepherd and how much we need a shepherding and how much we need God's strength. And I encouraged them along the way. And we had some choruses in the beginning led by the chief's wife, Maina, who they're beautiful. I can't even tell you how beautiful the African choruses are as they just sing their hearts out to the Lord. And by the way, if you didn't pick it up, Africa is part of my DNA now. After the last 20 years, I feel that's my second home. And I see these people as family. It's not just the trip anymore. These are my family, and I want to see them. I love them, and I'll support them with all that I have. And so so I shared the message then, the Lord is my shepherd. And then after that, I asked them to please break up into small groups, small prayer groups. And Lucy helped me do that, and we picked a leader from each group. Maybe there was 8 groups. And I said, pray about what your needs are with each other. You know, share them and then pray about them. And so that continued on for a while, and Lucy looked over at me, and I guess they're not used to doing stuff like this, but she kept looking at me, and she said, it's working, it's working. Well, I thought, well, sure it's working, you know, they're praying for each other. So after everybody was done, and some of the groups got into it right away, and others took a little longer, but finally everybody had expressed themselves and prayed together, and then we got back into sitting in a circle. And then I said, okay, if there's anybody who needs to be saved, then come forward. And if anybody wants to be filled with the Holy Spirit, come forward. And as usual, like I said, they respond very well to that. And so basically everybody came forward. And Lucy and I went around and laid hands on all these ladies. And again, there was also manifestations of demonic presence. But many people got filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, and that was awesome. And then after that was all over, and it took a little while, then they sat down and started singing African choruses again, which was just beautiful, just beautiful. And by the way, I know that when I get to heaven, when I reach those pearly gates, what I'm going to hear first of all is those African choruses, and I'm going to know I'm in the right place.
Well, hello, church. I'm super excited. I get to talk about the well portion of this. And you can be very, very proud of what we have done over there, both on the technical side for the wells and on the helping the people side. So we've done with CJ helping out do some groundbreaking there. The places the wells are and the way they have constructed them is very well done. And we're looking at continuing that excellence as we move forward. So there's a bunch of pictures of the wells there. They got the handle and the pump that people get to use. And these wells are like 250 feet deep. And so they're down there a ways. But they did a really good job. There's Nick Whitaker pumping away. Kids had a lot of fun with the wells. They got concrete around the bottom of them to keep them sealed. And there's Curtis filling up the water bottle. And the people were very excited about the water quality. They go, this is the best tasting water that we have around this area. So lots of exciting stuff happening with that.
And one of the neat things is that DeLeo from Uganda, he came here to work with the Malawi people to put in those 2 wells. And so that's the intricacies there.
Yeah, which is cool. They do a great job. They've done over 500 wells, so they're on top of their game. They also have a video here of a gift that they gave us, the church, for putting in these wells. And it's pretty fun what they did. So here's the video. So they got some ground nuts, peanuts essentially. You got 2 chickens, and then some potatoes and corn.
And they may eat chicken twice a year, so this is a major sacrifice.
Yeah. So it was. Yep. So then we have.
If you see on that well, sorry, Colt, but if you see on that well, you'll see that donated by Holy Cross Pentecostal Church, not Living Faith Fellowship. God gets the glory. So we don't want the people looking to us. We want the people looking locally to God. And so that's another thing, but we didn't get a picture of that.
Yeah. Then we have a second video here of a shallow well that people were dipping water out of. And so roll that video.
Here's the shallow well. Just put her bucket down in there. Filling it up.
They'll walk a ways to get to that well, and that's how they get their water. If it's not a,
she just
it's
pulls
not
it back out, well. And she just puts it in one of her. This is how they get their water every day.
There's snakes that will fall in there at nighttime. So if you're getting water at nighttime and a snake goes into your bucket, you pull it back out. And these aren't just gardener snakes. These are the spitting ones that spit poison or will bite you, and you know it's just not fun. So that's just another thing that they encounter in getting their water sources. You turn on the tap and snakes don't come out of your tap. Unless you're from, you know, clear over there.
And what you saw in those videos is part of the issue that they have for water is transporting it. So they have a bucket they're dipping with, which gets dirty. They have a bucket they put it into, which gets dirty. And they bring it back, and then they drink that. And so Part of that is the transportation of the water. So that was part of the training that's been going on over there, is how to get water from the source to where they're drinking it safely. So not only are we giving them water, we're teaching them how to safely use that water to prevent some of the stuff that they've had, some problem with disease and stuff like that. So then we went to this is the school well, and so we have two more videos here of those. So we'll roll those two, and I'll talk some more.
Turn the volume on.
This is the first well. This is about the school.
They were singing songs of thanks for us for doing what we did for them.
This well is in the middle of nowhere. I mean, it is incredible, the location. And the Africans picked that location because it is the more remote and further people would
We were driving into nowhere. We went off field. We're driving through corn things. And all of a sudden, we come out and boom. And then here's this well. I'm going, this is in the middle of nowhere. And yet, it supplied a lot of people around the area.
So their heart is the neediest of the neediest. And they're needy, but they're going to the needier than them to put in these where they're picking the locations.
Then the next video. This is at the school site.
They know how to dance and how to celebrate. I like this guy up to the side here.
That's the way Pastor Phil moved, but I don't know if we'll ever see it.
Receive water from this one well, and they will come a long distance to get the good, clean water.
As I would hear all this noise and all the singing stuff, I felt like, I go, gosh, I feel like I'm in Africa. I mean, because I was in Africa, and it was, that's what I thought of when I thought of Africa. I'm here.
So one of the things that we also, right before we left, we had an opportunity to do some stuff with water filters, and we have a water bottle down here that we use, which had a filter in there that gets rid of all the bacteria, pathogens, all that, which was great. And so we drank water from many sources. Well, CJ mostly was the guinea pig on that, but the Nile, most of the wells we drank out of. But what we got to do with that is we got to train the pastors over there with a bigger system that works on a 5-gallon bucket. And so when I had mentioned about the transportation of the water to their homes, one of the things that we brought were these filters that would help be the last final polishing step for their water. So when they get it to their home, they can put it through a filter, then they get rid of anything that they had problems with as they transported it. So we brought those. I think there's some pictures going on up there. There's a bucket. It's not the 5-gallon one, but that's one of the buckets that we demonstrated it on. And just showed them how to use that and that filter will last a family of six for a lifetime. And so we brought some of those over there so they could start using them and figuring out how to implement that. And we gave one to Pastor Mahungo, who actually has been using it. He had running water at his home, but now he's been using
outside.
That. Yeah, outside. And he's been using that to filter his water. And they no longer have to boil their water that way, which has been a huge life change for them. So,
Because
cool.
They spend so much money on firewood. Firewood is not readily available because it's been deforested. So to boil your water every single night for your family, can you imagine? I mean, everybody's trying to scrounge firewood. This completely changes the game. From one filter, they no longer need to boil it, which means they don't need to find and scavenge for firewood. And Elton has said to us, he goes, it's completely changed our life. One filter has changed our life.
So we're partnering with cool. Sawyer, trying to get a lot more of these and get hundreds and hundreds of them over there into this region.
Yep. So here's Ellis. He's going to talk about some medical aid resources that we did.
Mm-hmm. So some more materials that we were able to give to them is some stuff from Hesperian. It's a company that publishes lots of stuff for villages. It's the main one is called Where There Is No Doctor. And so basically it's a training manual with lots of pictures, very simple illustrations, simple text, and it's translated in a lot of languages. They give it out for free. You can download online free PDFs of all these materials, and they also make some print copies available. But basically, they just want to get these materials into people's hands. We wanted to get them into our people's hands as far as medical training. So what do you do when there is no doctor? What do you do when there is no dentist? How do you organize your community so that it's medically healthy, so that you have a healthy community that's environmental? And so we were able to give these to them, and an update that CJ got just a couple days ago was that they've now passed it on. We have some incredible, incredible pastors over there that we've been able to partner with, but they're thinking about their churches. They're thinking about these wells. They're thinking about, you know, now these medical stuff and these filters. And so as they're processing all their stuff, they're starting to delegate, and they found somebody that can that's already had these materials a little bit, but is now has the updated version, now has more stuff that he can now take and kind of digest and start to teach people, which is a huge part about teaching people about hand washing, teaching people about where to dig latrines, teaching things that make huge differences that are very simple. But once they have the right education, once they know what to do, then they move forward in a very healthy way.
We're looking at doing a medical team there, and in order to do that, we have to have the foundation of hygiene. If we open somebody up on the medical side and there's no hygiene in place, well, you guys know that's going to do more harm than good. And so these are the things that need to be launched for at least the next year, practice before a medical team comes in.
So you can see all the things we're putting together to try to transform the community, try to transform the area. We want to help them as much as we can. We went to this one place, and the kids were playing. This is a school right here. There's a well back here that we have. This was their soccer ball that they were playing with. The soccer ball is consisted of plastic bags inside of one another, and that's what they were playing with all day long, and they were good with that plastic bag. I couldn't believe how they could kick it up and knock it around. We saw that. We just happened to have a soccer ball with us, so we blew that soccer ball up, and we gave it to them. We gave it to them. You would have thought they had died and went to heaven, because it was one of the greatest things that they thought they had ever had. Here, look at this ball. It went further and farther than any other thing that they had, man. When they kicked it, they didn't realize how far it would go, man. It took off, and there were some great soccer players there. It was an incredible thing for me to go to, because it was just amazing. We preached at, this is Pastor Isaiah's church Compende. We preached there they worshiped for 2 or 3 hours waiting for us, and then they came and listened to us. We gave out candy at the end. I'm always giving out candy. Continue to go through them. That's Pastor Isaiah and his wife and his daughter in front of their home. Next. There's his church. Next up there. There we are. And Pastor David in Rufi. The church there, we were preached at as well. That's their church. Continue. All right, continue on. And then we got to do some fun things here. CJ brought this green laser. And do you have that? We played this laser with the kids at this one spot at the end. Oh, my gosh. They were like a bunch of cats. They'd never seen it before. They didn't know what it was. And then when it get on them, they'd try to brush it off because they couldn't get it off.
Oh, they're having so much fun.
That kid didn't want it on him, man. And he just, look at him, trying to get it off. He's trying to get it off. He just took off with it. By the way, there's our sound guy. That's how the sound system got brought in. It got brought in on a bike. We also, as we were preaching there, I did one of the Russian doll. If you've ever seen one of those Russian doll, I was talking to him and using it as an illustration. And oh my gosh, can you roll that video as well? They'd see another one come out, and they never seen anything like that. They were they were spellbound by it. Let me just end here now, my takeaway. A couple of thoughts. When I look at how these people live, this is one of the pastors there. And right here, this is his house. That's his living room. About half that size to the right is his bedroom. That's all he has. And right here, he has this he put it in purple and he says, do you want to see what I made? And I go, oh my gosh, what is it? And so he pulls it off, and what he made is, that's his pulpit. That was his pulpit. He was so excited about this pulpit that he had made. Here's his house made out of bricks that were made out of the dirt of the ground, dried, and then that's just mud from the ground. That was his house. This is how they all cook. Everywhere we went in both countries, if you wanted something to eat, you're going to go out there, and that's how it was going to be cooked. It was going to be cooked on a fire. There's nothing inside the house. Cooked outside. This was his church. Look at that. But I'll tell you what, he was proud of his church. This man, I said, what do you do for a message? He goes, I go up on Prayer Mountain on Thursday, and I come back Friday afternoon. He goes up on the mountain, spends the night, and comes back, and God gives him the word. I was really taken. It's just the thatched roof. And I was taken by the people. And yet, the people don't have much, but they were extremely happy, every one of them. They were happy. They were thankful. They were hungry for anything you talked about God about. They just loved it. They loved hearing His name. They loved hearing about Him. There was no complaining. Nobody was complaining about what they didn't have. They didn't know what they didn't have. They were just grateful. They were just thankful. My encouragement is everybody needs to go on a mission trip sometime. The sooner, the better. We're trying to get our high school to go through a mission trip. Have every kid go on a mission trip, because you come back a different person. You come back grateful. You come back thankful. You come back realizing how much we have. I realized at the lodge that we were at, these people were, just the place we were staying at, these were our cooks and took care of us. What was it, Constance? Or? And who was this guy? Forget his
Matthew.
Name. Matthew. This was Gift and
John.
They took care of us and fed us there. And when we were starting to leave, they said, could you do one thing for us? And we said, what? And he goes, could we get a Bible? We didn't have any to get them, especially in their language. So we went to the Bible store as we were on our way out. We gave it to Pastor to give back to them. We took Bibles. And I told CJ I wanted him to write stuff in there and let them know how much we love them and care about them and how much God loves them. So we got Bibles for them. We sent it back to them. But also, I've got 300 Bibles I'm going to send to the rest of them, because it's what we need to do. We're over here in all of our comfort and all of our stuff. Turn any channel on TV. They don't have any of that. What they want is to read a Bible. I'm going to get them Bibles. We're going to get them the Bibles. The other thing they want is foundational materials. We have a 5-year implementation of Carpenter Series Bible Foundations 1-4, Mirror Class, all of that. We want to teach them. We want to help them teach their people, because they're hungry, because they want the Scriptures. They want the Word of God. And I'll tell you what, so many people crying, so many people laughing, so many people excited about God. They're serving Him. And they're serving Him well. And the people want more of the things of God. Bibles, foundation materials. The third thing I went away with is, we're going to give them wells. There's a scripture. For whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in My name, because you belong to Christ, assuredly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. These people don't have water. 2.5 hours are walking each way to get water. We're going to put more wells in. I told them we're going to commit to putting 2 wells every year. They're about $6,000 a well, $12,000. We're going to do it for the next 3 years at least. We're going to put 2 wells, and that's what we were doing. We were looking at places to put these wells, so these people don't have to walk as far, so we can give them water. Jesus was the living water. We have the opportunity to give them water. So as a church, we're going to give them water. We're going to do wells. $12,000 a well. And I'm going to give $1,000 above and beyond my giving each year, because I'm going to be 1/12 of giving the water there. And I want to encourage you. I'm not asking you to switch your tithe to something else or give it and redesignate it. I'm asking you to sacrificially give something beyond where you are. Something beyond what you normally give everywhere else. Will you help out with these wells? If you will, on your offering, your giving, please mark Malawi Wells. We'll make sure that works. But I'll tell you what, I came away realizing how much we have. How much we have to give, both naturally and spiritually. And on my watch, we're going to give it away. We're going to give it away. And we're going to help people around the world. Another part of the picture of so many people that we're helping, we're going to help these people as well. They need wells. They need water. It's what brings them life. I think when you go to someplace like this, a lot of your selfishness decreases. A lot of your gratefulness increases. And I want to make sure God knows that we are going to help these people. As we get ready for communion, would you please pray with me? Father, we thank you for this opportunity we had to see these people hungry for you, loving you, happy. They have nothing. Now, one of the pictures I didn't show here, maybe you can show it, the video of the nurseries. These are the nurseries that they have here at this at the church. Can you show the video? Can you show the video? Here's the nurseries. See the kids? All the moms, they just carry them on the back. That's their nursery. Those moms carry water that way. They hoe. They farm. They do all of that. That's the nursery. They don't have any excuses. We seem to have a lot in our country. But they don't have any excuses. They just do. Father, help us. Help us to do what we can do for those that have little. Those that are the least of these. But I'm finding out, Lord, that the least of these have the biggest hearts. The least of these have the biggest smiles. The least of these, they don't complain. They're just thankful for what you've given them. So, Father, as we partake of communion today on this Father's Day, as we honor our fathers in this congregation, and Lord, as we honor you by dedicating ourselves to help the rest of your people, the least of these. You love it when we touch the least of these. So, Lord, as we take communion today, remind us that when you died on the cross to bring us salvation, to change our lives, you did it for the whole world, and you did it for people who maybe aren't as prosperous financially as we are. Oh, but they're prosperous in your spirit, Lord. Help us to learn from them and to give to them. Help us, Lord, as was sung in the prophetic word this morning, the song, that we might open up our hearts and open up our hands, and that we might give. Help us, Lord, as we help you touch the lives of the world. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Communion this morning, please come and partake on your own. The unleavened bread, the grape juice. Remember what Jesus did for us on the cross. Remember the price that he paid. And then remember, there are so many others around the world that need to hear that same message of love. And then after that, remember, dads, we love you. Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day, Dad.